Hi, I'm Dr. Kimberly Goldman. I'm sometimes known as Chaim, the executive producer of Biblical Health TV's wife, but as if that weren't enough to keep my hands full, I'm also a busy homeschooling mom of 5 children under 9. And at the time of this recording, I'm also expecting a new baby in about 5 months. Yeah, wow. My professional training is as a chiropractor, although I currently only practice on my family. So, since I hang out with little people all day, it's pretty natural for me that I often look at my life in terms of babies and children. And it's funny if you think about babies and their development. We know and expect that they are going to grow a little bit each day. And of course, we get all excited the first time they smile or hold a toy or sit up or crawl. But we never get frustrated or upset with them when they're not progressing fast enough. I mean, it's not like we ever give up and say, you're never going to walk. Now, I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't know any adults who've never learned to walk. I don't know any adults who aren't potty trained. So obviously, these skills, they all got learned. They just got learned a little bit at a time. Why do we stop using this time-tested success pattern as we become adults? Today, we are going to overcome that. Of course, I also like to tell stories, especially children's stories. And around here, we love that Aesop's fable about the tortoise and the hare. It's a favorite. I'm sure you know the story. The hare who ridicules the slow-moving turtle and is challenged by the turtle to a race. The hare soon leaves the tortoise behind and is so confident of winning that he decides to take a nap midway through the course. But when he wakes up, he finds out that his competitor has crawled slowly and steadily and has arrived at the finish line before him. Now, I like to focus when I'm teaching my children not on the laziness or overconfidence of the rabbit, which are definitely problems, but on the way he runs so fast that he wears himself out and he needs to stop completely and take a nap, sort of like crashing and burning. In comparison, the tortoise crawls slow and steady, and therefore he wins the race. Now, I first became interested in natural health during high school when my mother's chiropractor had a conversation with me about milk, and it completely changed the way I think of things. It went basically like this. He asked me, "Who is cow's milk intended for?" Of course, I answered, "A baby cow." And he asked me, "Are you a baby cow?" "No." And so he asked me, "So why do you think you need to drink cow's milk to be healthy?" I had never thought of it that way. I mean, I'd always been taught that this was the right thing to do, but he really had me there, and it was very logical. And then, when it was time for me to send in my vaccination records when I was going to the University of Florida, I asked my mother for them, but then she told me that I had never received all my vaccinations. She decided that it wasn't the best thing for my health. Now, I was shocked. I hadn't realized that I'd never gotten them all. And in my 17-year-old know-it-all kind of a way, I informed her that I was an adult now and I would absolutely march right over to my doctor and get the rest of my vaccines. Well, she asked me, "Please promise to read a book about vaccines first." It was A Shot in the Dark by Barbara Lowe Fisher. And I did read it, and it totally changed my viewpoint. So my paradigm shift had definitely begun. After receiving my undergraduate degree in communication studies at the University of Florida, I went on to earn my doctorate in chiropractic from Life University in Marietta, Georgia. Now, it has been my passion since then to learn about and expose what I believe to be truths of health, no matter how different they might be from what most people believe or what they tell you. And even though I'm not in chiropractic practice right now, I continue to teach and share these truths as much as I can. Now, if you're just learning about healthier choices, it can be really overwhelming to think of making many changes at once, especially if you have a whole family whose habits you need to change as well. These healthy habits are best put into practice only one at a time, with time for adjusting before adding more. And before you begin any of them, a proper foundation must be laid. My expert topic on Biblical Health TV is baby steps to family health. Today, we're going to focus on laying a proper foundation for your family's health, because it's vital that you know how and where to begin when you're learning to do things for your health naturally, according to biblical principles. You know, a baby can't run before it learns to walk, and most don't walk until they first crawl. And of course, before crawling, they tend to roll and warm around, and that's okay. At the end of today's lesson, you will be equipped to begin your family's journey to better health by knowing how to build a solid foundational belief system, which will guide you through the all-important daily decision-making that will follow from today for the rest of your life. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 10 states, "For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Changes can be difficult to make, especially if you look at the big picture. A mountain gets climbed one tiny step at a time. No matter how tall that mountain is or how far up or down you may be when you're beginning your journey. Now, why are foundations so important? A foundation's strength determines the stability of the building that's constructed on it. Think about the parable of the wise man and the foolish man building on the sand or the rock in Matthew 7. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Your belief system, your worldview, is like the foundation for your life. Your beliefs about morals will shape your moral behavior. Your beliefs about wealth will influence your financial life. And your beliefs about wellness and disease will guide your family's health. This is important. Please notice, I did not say your knowledge and expertise about wellness and disease will guide your family's health, but your beliefs and understanding of only a few basic concepts. This is key. I have a doctorate degree in a natural healthcare field, but it's not my knowledge that drives the way I make decisions about health for my family. It's my beliefs about wellness and disease. There are many things I don't know, and that's okay. I learn and research as I go. I am comfortable with this because I'm guided by these basic understandings. It's really important that you don't think that you aren't properly equipped because you're not a doctor to be able to make wise decisions about health. This kind of thinking is the basis of people making decisions based on fear, blindly following what their doctor tells them to do. I'm going to share these few basic core beliefs with you now. And although I might have been introduced to them in chiropractic school, they are so simple and so basic that if you are seeking God's truth about health, I believe they'll ring true to you. So here we go. Foundational principle number one. Our bodies were made to be healthy, to function perfectly, to heal and sustain themselves. All that they need is the proper environment, the proper nutrition, and no outside interference. Remember, the Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you think about nature, all animals have survival instincts. A human baby knows how to suckle immediately after birth. A finger on a healthy body, which is cut in a not too serious way, will bleed, it will clot, and it will heal. And it needs no intervention. Your heart knows exactly how many times to beat this minute, and your lungs don't need you to remind them to breathe. Your own immune system, it'll form antibodies to chickenpox or any other illness once you've had it, which makes you stronger, and it will ward off future infections. Even in the case of what people call birth defects, God does not make mistakes. He has his purposes for everything. In Exodus, we read, when Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I've never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And listen to how God answers him. Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Trusting that God has made no mistakes in creating us in his image, in creating our bodies, is the foundational belief that guides the action taken in natural health care for me. For non-believers in the natural health care field, they might ascribe it to a higher power or Mother Nature, whatever they want to call it. But I believe that God designed my body to be how it is and work perfectly. Okay, so that brings us now to foundational principle number two. Disease is not caught. It is not something to be afraid of. Disease is developed. We all know some people who seem to almost never be sick, and others who seem to frequently be unwell. And sometimes they're even living within the same family or environment. Why do you suppose that is? There's something called the germ theory of disease. It's also known as the pathogenic theory of medicine. Basically, it states that microorganisms are the cause of diseases. Now, I do not support this theory of disease any more than I believe that fire trucks cause fires to burn or that rats cause dumpsters to be full of garbage. Think about it. Viruses and bacteria are everywhere. All people carry them, even if they are not exhibiting symptoms. Viruses and bacteria need a fertile breeding ground in order to flourish. Your body can either be a fertile breeding ground or it can be an inhospitable one. Improper environments for your body can encourage it to develop disease. Toxins and other non-foods that you might take into your body, they make your body weak. They encourage disease to develop. And if you have a lack of proper nutrition, or you aren't getting enough rest, or maybe you aren't getting enough sunshine, vitamin D, you're not drinking good water, maybe you're not getting enough sleep, maybe you have too much stress, you're not getting exercise, if you don't have a good nervous system function, all of these things, if they're not taken care of properly, they encourage the development of disease. That's because they all interfere with the body having what it needs to be able to work properly. The bottom line is that disease comes from the inside out, not the outside in. Remember that dumpster. If you kill all the rats, but you leave the dumpster full of garbage, more rats will show up. Keep in mind that the germ theory is called a theory for a reason. It has not been proven, although it's widely accepted. All right, foundational principle number three. The immune system is the only thing that can fight disease. Basically, actions which strengthen your immune system will strengthen your ability to fight disease and be healthy, and actions which weaken your immune system will promote disease and feeling unwell. Always ask yourself, before you're taking any action, will this food or will this behavior strengthen my immune system or will it weaken it? It will always do one or the other. There are very few, if any, actual neutrals in life. Basically, what you're asking yourself is, will this promote life or will this promote death? Remember, we have been commanded to choose life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. When choosing your diet, keep in mind the following. God designed foods to nourish the body. There are many things that might be edible, but they were not designed by him to be food, and so they cannot nourish the body. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 9, and God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. And then later on, Leviticus chapter 7, verse 23, there is a prohibition on fat in blood. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 3 through 20, More details are given on which animals are allowed and which are abominations. He clearly states, you shall not eat any abomination. Now, animal products and plants that may be allowable according to the Bible, but have been perverted by unnatural growing methods, they go against nature and the way God intended things to be, and therefore I believe that we should not be eating them. For example, genetically modified plant foods, also called GMOs. What about plant foods that are covered with pesticides, or animals that are filled with antibiotics and hormones and raised on unnatural diets in unnatural living conditions? So, take for example a cow. It has a split hoof, it chews its cud, so technically it's allowable as an animal to be eaten. And if its blood has been drained, it fits the bill according to the Bible. However, God never intended that cow to be kept in a stall instead of roaming free. I'm sure he never intended that cow to be fed corn and other grains instead of grazing on greens. He never intended that cow to be pumped full of antibiotics and other hormones. So, if you were to eat such a cow in the form of beef, or to drink its pasteurized milk, I believe that it would not nourish your body. This is because those foods go against God's design for food. Also, anything that comes in a package, like store-bought cookies, margarine, which is not found in nature, sugar substitutes in colorful packages, those were never intended to be food. They are edible, but they do not promote life. Proper foods enhance the immune system. Improper foods hinder it. Now, this is the same with all other health practices, just like I mentioned earlier. Sleep, exercise, stress, getting enough sunshine, all of those things affect your immune system. Just like before, the bottom line is that health and healing comes from the inside out, not the outside in. Okay, we are ready for our fourth and last foundational principle. Number four, symptoms are not the problem. They are merely expressions of health. Imagine the following. You're driving your car and the indicator on your dashboard, which alerts you that you've run out of oil, it suddenly lights up. Now, is the light the problem? Do you simply cover it up so that it doesn't bother you? No, of course not. That would be ridiculous. Now, here's another example. Let's say, unknowingly, you eat some rotten food. It causes you stomach cramps, vomiting, and diarrhea because your body is working overtime to get it out of you as quickly as possible. Are you sick? No. Do you feel awful? Absolutely. Now, what if you didn't get those symptoms? What if you didn't vomit, you didn't have diarrhea, and those toxins remained in your body? Think about it. Treating symptoms as if they were the actual problem and then doing whatever possible to get rid of them, this can be so dangerous. Now, this principle comes into play often as you choose how you'll handle the next headache or sniffle that comes your way. It'll play out on a larger scale as you consider something like high blood pressure or tonsillitis. Now, in the example of high blood pressure, it's a symptom. It is not the problem itself. If someone takes blood pressure medication but doesn't figure out the cause of the problem, nothing will be solved. And what about the example of inflamed and infected tonsils? If surgery is done to remove the tonsils, but nothing is done to strengthen the immune system, the infections will continue. They just won't be in the tonsils. I believe that even cancerous tumors are a symptom, and that if the tumors are removed, but the toxic environment which caused them is not cleaned up, that patient is likely to develop some other cancer again in the future. I believe that adopting these four foundational principles and basing your health decisions on them is the key to realizing wellness for you and for your entire family. Once they are in place, simple baby step actions can be taken to get you where you want to go. Now, I'm going to walk us through a progression of life stages. and I'll suggest how I have used these four foundational principles to guide my child raising. While the specifics may not apply directly to you at this time, you should still be able to pick up some helpful practical health nuggets. Also, this information will equip and empower you to share with and minister to others. Like the lady in the grocery store trying to decide whether to buy the pink, blue, or yellow box of artificial sweetener. Well, if you are willing to be bold. You are willing to be bold in order to bless others, right? Let's just start at the earliest stage of life, which is during pregnancy. Learn about pregnancy. Trust that this is a normal condition. It is not a disease. It is an amazing time to appreciate the miracles of life that God creates. What about giving birth? You can give birth in a home or natural environment. I have given birth to all five of my babies in a home birth environment, and it was amazing. Not with bright lights and strangers poking and prodding. Trust that your body was made to do this, and it is completely able to, with no outside intervention. No labor induction is needed, you know, to get the baby out on time. No episiotomy is necessary to make sure that you don't tear. Did you know that a natural tear heals better and quicker than their intervention? And of course, it might not even tear at all. Newborn function and care. Let me tell you, new babies do not need to be stuck with needles. They do not need powdered formula. They need mother's milk and loving care at home with their families. If you'd like more information comparing breast milk to infant formula, you can check out AskDrSears.com. There's a great article on there. If you want to learn more about vaccines, go to NVIC.org or VacInfo.org to learn more about vaccinations and important questions that you should ask before consenting to have your infant or child vaccinated. Remember, it is your choice to decide when or even if to have your child vaccinated. If you have a baby, educating yourself on infant digestion is a must. Babies' digestive systems are not fully formed at birth. They cannot be treated as adults. For example, introducing grains too early encourages food allergies and intolerances since the infant gut lacks the enzyme necessary to digest them properly. And therefore, their bodies see it as an intruder and sets up an immune response. There's a fantastic resource on this subject. It's a book called Infant Nutrition by Dr. J. Mark Percival. Unfortunately, this book seems to be out of print, but I have checked and you can find copies of it on Amazon. Feeding real food to babies from the beginning is the foundation of a good diet and digestive health. Now, what about older children? Children should not, I repeat, children should not be allowed to dictate their diet according to their taste buds. If you feed them wholesome food, they will learn to enjoy it. My kids all love fruit smoothies, salads, broccoli, brown rice and beans, whole grain breads and pastas. They are accustomed to drinking water as their main beverage. This didn't happen by accident. This happened because they were trained to like these foods. But if I allowed them to, they would be thrilled to eat ice cream, potato chips, and cookies. Well, until it made them sick. I hear and read all the time about moms who are having trouble getting their kids to eat healthfully. It seems like these picky eaters rule the house. Who's in charge at your house? If it's not you, then you are in for trouble. I have a tip for you. If they won't eat something at this meal that you feel they must eat, serve it to them again at the next meal and the next, and don't allow them to have anything else until they finish it. Genuine hunger has a way of making pretty much anything seem delicious. Just make sure you refrigerate it in between so it doesn't go bad. And, you know, if it does go bad, make more, but tell them it's the same one. Bottom line, don't let them win the food battle, or the war will never end. Oh, and, you know, you might want to think twice about serving it again, as you don't need to get into such conflicts unnecessarily. If you have older children or teenagers, they can learn these basic foundational principles of health from you. Kids love to think logically, and they can learn to read food labels and be encouraged to choose live foods instead of dead foods. Just like everything else, it's a matter of establishing good habits. Now, what about when you are feeling sick? No matter what stage of life you are in, this is guaranteed to happen at some point. Here's something you may not know. Your body spends one-third of its energy digesting food. One-third. When you're feeling ill, your body needs its energy for healing. Now, if you avoid food, or at least avoid cooked food, it will actually help your body heal. You've heard that saying, starve a fever, feed a cold. Is it that or is it the other way around? Actually, it's starve both. Do an online search and you can read about the benefits of fasting during sickness. Basically, know that you will live through a period of not eating. Just look at how animals behave when they are sick. They just go lay down in a corner and they don't eat until they are better. See, you can even learn natural health principles from your dog. Adults, I have a secret for you. You do not have to accept the world's normal sickness as part of aging. Did you know that it's entirely possible to age without high blood pressure? You don't have to get high cholesterol. You don't have to be like everyone else you know who has diabetes or cancer. Yeah, really. Not only is it possible to avoid them, but many people have their bodies reverse these conditions through only diet and lifestyle changes, and without drugs or surgery. Okay, first things first. This foundation is crucial. If your belief system about health and disease is upside down like the rest of the world's is, then you will suffer the diseases of the world. To put your foundation straight, you must start anew with information counter to that of the world. Here are some things that you can do to help yourself get excited about these ideas. There are some really great documentaries out there that expose truths of the food industry and of the cause of diseases, like Food Inc. and Forks Over Knives. Cold, hard facts are very empowering. You could do a search on Google for natural remedies or cures for whatever disease or health problem ails you or your family. Read testimonials from people who have cured themselves of diabetes, irritable bowel syndrome, asthma, eczema, you name it. It will be really inspiring to you if you have struggled with these issues and have been left feeling hopeless as you go from doctor to doctor with no help. Of course, you are responsible for your own health decisions, so do your research before you make your choices. You might want to consider doing a detox or a cleanse to give yourself a blank slate to work with. The wonderful thing about your body is that as long as it still has life in it, it is still able to heal and repair. Good news is that good habits, which are healthy foundations, are easy to begin. And it's never too late to begin again today. Remember, His mercies are new every morning. I have really enjoyed spending this time with you. I hope that you feel empowered with these four foundational principles to begin taking baby steps to health that will make a big difference over days, weeks, months, and years to come. Just like that precious baby who's learning to walk, don't give up on yourself. Or, borrowing a line from one of our favorite movies around here, Finding Nemo, just keep swimming. But also, don't set your expectations so high that you get fanatic for a short time and then crash and burn. In Jeremiah 4, verse 10, do not despise small beginnings. Roller coasters are only fun at amusement parks. Your body shouldn't be on one all the time. Start today. Take your first baby steps to health, the proper foundational mindset, and a slow and steady pace in the proper direction will bring you a lifetime of healthy rewards. You can do this. I'm Dr. Kim Goldman, and I look forward to meeting with you again to learn more about baby steps to family health on Biblical Health TV. Oh, and I'm also the co-director of our Nourish the Nations charity initiative, along with Dr. Andrea Hazim. I greatly appreciate you being a member because you're financially supporting that important work to help those who need it the most.